My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Eric Flack from Channel 9 has broken a lot of news over the last couple of years. He is their chief investigative reporter. He does a great job. Follow him on X, on Twitter, at Eric with a C, Flack TV. He joins us right now because he broke a story the other day about D.C. hiring a very high-priced consultant to help them in their efforts to bring the Washington football franchise back to the RFK site. So without trying to get into the description of what they did, who they retained, and why, I'll let you describe it.
Well, they hired an LA-based venue and management company that really specializes in this sort of thing. They paid the company $500,000, a little bit more actually, to specifically study how they would build a stadium for the Commanders at RFK, meaning D.C. government, and how D.C. government would pay for or help pay for such a stadium, which obviously, as we've talked about before, is really a huge piece of this. Now, it's the second major study the city has paid for related to getting the Commanders back
right to
the RFK site.
Yeah, you told me about the other one. They spent like $400,000 on something that they wouldn't even release the details on.
$400,000, and I asked somebody within government, I said, well, what's the difference? And they said, well, that one was more about the economic impact of sports, professional sports on the District of Columbia. And as we talked about, it was a very rosy report, you know, headline, you know, spoiler, you know, pro sports make a lot of money for D.C. There was a piece of that study that related to, okay, well, how would you pay for a football stadium? What would it look like? And then the city wouldn't release that. They said that was
right,
like industry secrets.
But potentially for competitive reasons, which you and I both kind of understood, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I understood. I think the only difference we had on that one, Kevin, is like they can – I understand why, but like the law, I think their justification under the law for not complying with, you know, a public request to release it, I think is a little bit suspect. But yes, I mean, I understand they had a point. There was a reason that they withheld it.
But let me be clear on this. They've spent $400,000 on a study that kind of gave them, you know, a rosy picture on what a football team in D.C. would mean economically to the city,
right,
and, by the way, how they would potentially go about funding
right,
that. taxpayer dollars used for that $400,000 study, you know, several months ago, and they didn't disclose the results of it because they didn't, you know, they didn't want to lose any sort of advantage to, you know, debt creation or whatever, or, you know, whatever the plan would be. And now they've spent $565,000 for something they're saying is much different.
Well, it's different, but it's pretty similar. I think the biggest difference is that the company that they're paying now, like, really specializes in this. Meaning, the other two, Jack Evans was a part of the last study. They were just kind of general consulting firms that work on, like, pro sports across different pro sports from more of a, like, a 10,000-foot perspective. This company really, really hones in on, and have been used by other municipalities on getting NFL stadiums built and paid for. And I think, you know, their website and the documents the city signed to justify going straight to them, it was a no-bid contract. They didn't put it out for bid. They went straight to this company, was the fact that they have experience. They've done this with, you know, I think seven other NFL teams. And the person within D.C. government told me this is significant because it is the city upping its efforts to figure out exactly what the playbook would be the second Congress gives them the land, which the contract made seem like a foregone conclusion, as you and I have spoken. It's not, but this is to give them the playbook ready to go with, okay, here's how
is it cart before horse?
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, there's language in there that said, you know, we need to we chose this company because they can do it right away. And Congress is going to approve this, us getting the land back very, very soon. I forget the exact wording, but they made it seem like, you know, this is going to happen really soon. So we have to be ready to go. It's cart before the horse. In one sense, because they don't have the land, I guess if you were going to say the other side was you want to be prepared the second you get the land to go to the Commanders and say, here's the playbook. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to pay for it. Maybe here's how much we can pay. Here's how much we're willing to pay. You know, that sort of thing.
So a couple of things as you're describing it. First of all, we don't know right now for sure, although it certainly seems... Well, let me ask you this. Have they already committed to paying $565,000 for this help, or is it contingent on the Senate bill, the RFK site bill passing in the Senate?
No, the money's out the door. They paid this.
Okay. So,
I mean, they paid part of it, and I think it's kind of like any agreement.
Yeah,
you know, you
right.
worked on
some of it up front.
Pay a little bit once you get the thing. Yeah.
So where are we on the RFK site bill in the Senate?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of where we were, you know, the Wetzel family and Senator Daines from Montana still are kind of have their joint block. But, you know, the team has been repairing the relationship with the Blackie Wetzel family. They're going to honor the team. The team is going to honor the family week two in the home opener. And they're going to honor Blackie Wetzel's contribution to the old logo. And they're hoping that repairs the relationship. And the grandson told me that you know, I'm not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And I want the stadium at RFK too. So stay tuned, Commanders fans. Daines is supposed to, if you hold him to his word, as soon as the Wetzel family gives the A-OK, we're okay. Then he's supposed to release his hold. But then the bill has to get out of the subcommittee that Daines is holding it up in, which has people like Bernie Sanders on it, who, as you know, may have heard at the convention, you know, we don't like billionaires. Could he get involved in doing something that could help a billionaire? And even if it gets out of that subcommittee, it then has to get a hearing from Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, on the Senate floor and get passed by the end of the year. So all these things have to happen for D.C. even to get the land, and even the people who are close to it on this deal, I think on both sides, I think on the team side and D.C. government side, I think when you ask them honestly, like, nobody is really seeing this as a foregone conclusion that this is going to make it through Congress this year.
So, okay. So, did you even mention Van Hollen and his resistance?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I didn't. And then you have the Maryland senators that and Cardin who oppose it because they want assurances about what's going to happen to FedEx if the commanders leave.
I'm not one of those people that likes a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of hemming and hawing. I like decisiveness when it comes to these things. But a couple of things. First of all, to just spend $565,000 worth of taxpayer money with a lot of that at risk that you'll never be able to implement whatever plan they're putting together for you because it doesn't pass in the Senate seems crazy to me. And I would also add to this, don't they have to bid it out?
They justified not bidding it out by doing what's called a sole procurement contract. Basically, in layman's terms, it would be like a no-bid contract. They justified it in the paperwork by the time crunch that they say they are under because they characterized getting the land back from Congress as a foregone conclusion. And they said only this firm in LA was ready to go, could do it ASAP, and has the unique expertise that no other consulting firm has that would that could get the job done well. As a result, we're going to take the step of doing this no-bid contract and bypassing that process.
Well, I don't believe they're the only ones that could do it. In those situations, I would believe that this is who they absolutely wanted because they're the most qualified to help them. And they just, added in there that they were the ones that were ready to move forward. But that does bring up another question. And that is, it's actually a two-parter. Number one, why haven't they figured all of these answers out already? This has been a multi-year conversation. I would have assumed at this point that the city would have already had conversations with new ownership about the potential parameters of a deal or what might go into a deal. That's part one. Part two is, do they really need an outside consultant for this?
I think the answer to part one is, I think the finances, and it's been my contention all along, and this is me reading the tea leaves and putting all my reporting together rather than anybody confirming it. I think the money is sticky. I mean, I've done stories and I think we've talked about where the city is financially after giving the $500 million to Leonsis to fix up Capital One. And the economics of the study, they're on track to be like $1.7 billion in debt by 2030, and there's a limit to how much debt they can have. So I think that it's not as simple as taking out another loan, and they need to expertise to figure it out. Now, whatever was said in that last study, the best I can tell is that they laid out a whole bunch of different options from, hey, the city pays for it all, to, hey, the team pays for it all, to, here's some different options. I think the city has gone to taking this step to figure out, okay, here's what we're going to do. We don't need a lot of different options, which kind of makes you wonder why they did the first study in the first place. I mean, it does seem like there's a bit of redundancy here with taxpayer money.
That first study was to help convince, perhaps other politicians locally and eventually constituents that this would be great for the city.
Well, and keep in mind, they actually bid out the study in the middle of Leonsis, the first study, a lot of studies. They bid out the first one and started it in the midst of Monumental leaving for Northern Virginia, or considering Northern Virginia. So and then by the time it was released, everything had fallen apart in Northern Virginia and Leonsis was staying and they paid the $500 million. So their timing got all kind of confused on all of this. This one is strictly commanders, strictly how do you get them at RFK? Because I think the commanders know what they want in the stadium. Like where I think they're just trying to figure out where they're going to put it at this point. Like they know what it's going to look like. They know how, like, I think they're far enough down the road that, you know, they're planned somewhere. I don't think they need DC to tell them how it's going to fit on the RFK site. I just don't believe that.
We're talking to Eric Flack from WUSA TV9. He reported the other day that the city spent $565,000 on a consultant contract, a world-leading venue management company, to kind of help them figure out how to do the stadium, how to negotiate the deal with the team when and if that opportunity presents itself. Because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong and tell me if I'm missing any steps here. If you think about what has to happen chronologically, just to simplify this for everybody that's listening, to get a stadium to the RFK site back in the city, the first thing that needs to happen is that the Senate needs to pass the RFK site plan so that the city actually can do with that land what it wants to do. Second step would then be to negotiate a deal with the team. Thirdly, you've got to get the DC Council to approve, and really the constituents of that area in particular to say okay to this, right? I mean, am I missing anything?
You're not, but it is my belief at this point in the process and the positive vibes around the team now that I don't think that DC Council piece, that final step, is going to be as problematic as it was under Snyder when seven members of the DC Council signed that letter saying we're not using the RFK site for a stadium. A lot of the people who opposed it, who signed that letter all those years ago, aren't even on the council anymore. Right. We don't really know how the people who replaced them feel about this, but I just have a tough time believing that, you know, the Congress gives the land back to D.C., do a whole bunch of stories about that. Everybody's celebrating about that. Then Mayor Bowser gets a agreement in place with the team. And now we're celebrating that. And then D.C. Council is going to come in and stop it when it does have support. You know, Charles Allen is going to come in and stop it at that point. I have a tough time believing it. I think the biggest hurdle at this point, in my opinion, just from what I know, talking about this and reporting on this for years now, is Congress and whether or not that bill gets passed. And then if that bill doesn't get passed, Harris and his ownership group have a really tough decision, which is, do we wait another year and try again in a non-election year to get this bill through Congress with a new guy running the show, Kurt Mehta, who's running this deal for the team now, with all his Capitol Hill ties? Or do we just say, you know what, it just wasn't meant to be, we move forward with Maryland or Virginia?
Yeah, there's just something, like, when I see these deals, and part of it is just that before broadcasting, I was involved in, you know, non-sports broadcasting businesses, all sort of tech startup businesses. And I guarantee you that Ted with Wizards Caps Monumental and Josh Harris with the football team, they'd be able to figure out the parameters of the deal without spending $500,000 on a consultant. Because, government types tend to spend that kind of money, and I wonder whether or not they got a good deal and whether or not they negotiated a good deal with ASM Global that'll probably create what they would have come up with on their own if they had a few smart people in there trying to figure this thing out. But what do I know? I don't know much. I am curious, though, as to whether or not you have a feel for whether, you know, how this thing would be structured if we get to the point where RFK site plan passes in Senate and the city and Josh Harris are negotiating a deal. Who ends up paying for what? What's your hunch right now? What will ASM Global advise on this front?
I mean, looking at other stadiums that have been built, that are being built, I mean, you've got Buffalo, you've got Nashville, they're doing a huge renovation in Jacksonville, Chicago is working on a deal. To me, the cost of doing business is going to be $1 billion, I think, for the city. I think that is your entry. If you give $500 million plus to Leontis for renovations, you can't give less than $1 billion for a brand new state-of-the-art domed football stadium. I just don't see it. Josh Harris is trying to build a new arena for the Sixers in Philly that is completely privately funded. No taxpayer outlay at all. That's $1.2 billion, though. And we've asked him about, like, you know, what is he's going to need for a football stadium at RFK or really anywhere. And he said, you know, we're fortunate. We're going to do the best we can. But football stadiums are more expensive than basketball stadiums. And they are. So the last study assumed, the 400,000 study, assumed $2.5 billion for the cost of building a new football stadium. I think that is low based on inflation.
I know, right. I've heard $3 to $4 billion.
Correct. I think that is much more reasonable a number. So if you're in the neighborhood of $3 to $4 billion, and I think that's another thing that this group is going to do, is be a lot more realistic about, like, what this is going to cost, like, total, you know. I think it's hard to believe that the city is not asked to kick in $1 billion or more. It's hard for me to believe. I think that's going to be, especially when you have Maryland and we don't know what Virginia would do, because we don't know what the state legislator in Virginia would do. We know that Maryland would kick in $1 billion. Like, we just know that. Like, they have a stadium fund. They have all.
Well, not to mention the overall cost would be a lot less because they're building it on land that they already own.
Well, yeah. I mean, the cost would be the same. They wouldn't have to be charged for the land.
The cost of the stadium, the specific stadium, yes.
Right,
but everything
right.
But, I mean, around it, right? It's. I mean, they're trying to create a destination. At RFK, with all the retail.
I think they only have so much land there. I mean, they can't do. Yeah. You remember what Snyder wanted to do out there in Woodbridge and Dumfries? I mean, there's not room for that. Even if they wanted to, there's not room for that at RFK anyway.
I mean, look. Bottom line is, if you're right, taxpayers basically are going to have to, you know, come up with a big part of a $1 billion price tag for the city to bring the football team back. If that's what it would take to get it done, and you're the one that reported that they're $1.7 billion in debt by 2030.
Right. And so I think, you know, what, and so it goes back to your question, can't they figure it out on their own? I'm not sure they can, Kevin. I'm not sure they can figure this out on their own. I think maybe if they could, they would have already. I mean, is it going to be like a taxing district? They're going to need a new revenue source. They're going to need to figure out a new revenue source to keep the books balanced enough to where they can say, okay, we're not going to go, you know, more than, you know, X amount of debt, which we are required by law to do. You know, city council would have to vote to change the amount of debt we can take on. But even that, the chief financial officer's office told me is not going to happen, because it would kill DC's credit rating. So they can't even do that. So they would have to, they're going to have to be very creative about how they're going to finance this. And they won't say how. They won't say how. And I think they want to figure out what the answer is going to be, so they're ready to go if they get the land.
Look, there are times where, you know, you have to bring in true expertise and pay for it to get the right answer, and it ends up saving you in the long run. So I'm sure that's where the city is. Look, the bottom line is, right, correct me if I'm wrong, the path of least resistance is Landover. But it's not what anybody wants. So they're going to have to work really hard. And by the way, the timetable, which, remember you and I talked about this maybe a year ago, that there was hope that season opener 2024, the week of, they could announce a deal where the new stadium would open in 2029 or whatever it was. That is really, that time frame has been pushed way back, right?
Yeah, I think we're looking at 2030. That's if they come to a decision in the next year, which again, keep in mind, if they don't get the RFK land back this year, after all, and I think we said that back, you know, when we talked about that, because I think it was earlier this year that we had that conversation. And the reason was because it sailed through the House. When that bill sailed through the House, we all thought, oh my gosh, this is finally going to happen. They're finally going to have at least the option to build a stadium or at least to do something with that land. And then the Senate has just mucked it all up. And now we're back into a holding pattern. It's no longer a foregone conclusion. And are they, if they don't get it through this year, are they going to wait another year to try and try again? At what point do you just say this isn't going to happen?
I know. It's true. I mean, who the hell knows if by the time we get to the stadium opener, if Josh Harris will still even own the team. I'm kidding. Of course, we all hope he will. But last question is, when is the next opportunity for the Senate to vote on this?
Oh, I think everybody on Capitol Hill who's involved with this, I mean, they could vote on it now, but nothing's happening because of the election. Everything has stopped.
Right.
So it's after the election. So it's going to be, I've been told, like early December if it happens. It won't happen until early December if it's going to happen at all. Nothing is going to happen until after the election. And then everybody's going to flood back and try and get a whole bunch of stuff done before they all go on recess at the end of the year and the session ends. So that's why the election is kind of mucking this up. Because nobody's doing any work on Capitol Hill right now. It's all about the election.
You know what, Eric? When we have these conversations and the way the time frame, it's, part of me just says, you know what? Let's break ground in Landover and get this thing started. Seriously. Because that is the easiest path to a new stadium, a stadium that they would want with a partner that's willing to work with them and pay for it. And ultimately, they just got to win. Down the road, but I don't know. I want DC. I do want the RFK site.
You're the best. We all want DC. Yeah, got it, man.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well.
Anytime, man. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yep. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9. Let's shift back to football on the field. The Brandon Ayuk conversation is heating up. There's been a few reports out there. We'll share those with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Mike Silver, remember him? He's got a report on Brandon Ayuk and Washington. I will get to that here momentarily. Ben Standing's going to join us at noon. And Denton is going to do a college football preview with the season getting ready to start tomorrow. This segment of the show is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. So Mike Silver, if you recall, Mike Silver, longtime NFL reporter, and then he actually joined the Washington Commanders as the guy, you know, in charge of creating the content for the team's website. He was good friends with Ron Rivera. They were both Cal Berkeley grads. He had written a very interesting story, if you recall, prior to Ron Rivera being hired by Washington, about Rivera and the exit from Carolina. But Mike Silver has been back in San Francisco working NFL media back there, and he tweeted out yesterday, quote, "My updated information on Brandon Ayuk is that everything is still on the table, including all the trades you've heard about, that Steelers scenario, and I wouldn't rule out Washington," closed quote. You know, I first saw this on ProFootballTalk.com. You know, it was a Florio thing, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to even talk about that today, thinking that it was a Florio report, but it's not. Mike Silver with the San Francisco Chronicle was on KNBR radio out in the Bay Area and said that everything's on the table, including all the trades you've heard about, including he would not rule out Washington. I kind of feel like the situation with Brandon Ayuk and Washington goes like this. There was interest. The price was too high. The Steelers and other teams, including New England, where Brandon Ayuk did not want to go and was not willing to commit to signing a long-term deal. And remember, unless Brandon Ayuk's willing to sign a long-term deal, you're not going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, right? You're just not going to do that. He's got 1 year left on his deal. But I would probably suggest to all of you that there's interest in Brandon Ayuk with Adam Peters and company, but they've got a hard price and it's too low for San Francisco. You know, it is, we would do this deal for a second and a fifth. If you're willing to take that and Brandon's willing to sign a long-term contract with us, we'll do that. But that's not what the 49ers probably want. You know, they want a second and a third, or they want a second and a fourth and a player, you know, or they want a second and Terry McLaurin. And Adam Peters has essentially just said, you know what we're willing to offer. That's it. We're not going any higher. And it sounds like, you know, that's, you know, not acceptable. So, which is why the 49ers have looked elsewhere. I would still bet a lot of money that Brandon Ayuk plays for the 49ers this year. You know, it's not a pretty situation for them. They open up with the Jets on Monday Night Football, you know, and I understand Kyle's greatness as a coordinator. I do. I understand that they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Brandon Ayuk was their most valuable player last year. A lot of the advanced, you know, data, and we had that guy, Ben Solak, on the show last week, Denton, to talk about the story that he wrote about Brandon Ayuk's value to the 49ers. I mean, he acknowledges that there's true benefit in playing for Kyle Shanahan and playing in that system. By the way, is Ricky Pearsall their first-round pick from Florida, who they drafted at the end of the first round? Is he hurt?
I know he was dealing with something. I don't know that he's played at all this preseason. I haven't kept my eye on it, but I think he started the training camp period with something.
I mean, let's be honest here. If Brandon Ayuk started the season holding out, because at that point, you don't really hold in anymore, right? If the season starts, I don't know how that works. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They have a number one playmaker in Deebo Samuel. They obviously have George Kittle, and they've got Christian McCaffrey, but they don't have a true number one outside stretch the field wide receiver if Brandon Ayuk's not on that team. I just think he's going to be on the team. They have to, but by the way, they re-signed Logan Thomas. They cut him about 2 weeks ago, and they re-signed him to a one-year deal. I don't know if that's because they had tight ends that got hurt or something. But they have a much better chance to win the Super Bowl in 2024 with Brandon Ayuk than without. Which, by the way, is why they probably don't want to move him unless they got some incredible haul for him, which would include a receiver. I mean, I think they wanted a receiver as part of it. Dotson was available. I still think Ayuk stays in San Francisco. That's my Washington being interested does not surprise me. Washington being, you know, steadfast in this is the highest we would go is fine with me too. I've got trust right now because there's no reason not to in Adam Peters in particular on a deal like this because he knows the player. But man, be nice to have Brandon Ayuk side by side with Terry McLaurin. Be interesting anyway. My prediction still is Ayuk plays with the 49ers this year. Denton, where are you?
I have not been on the Brandon Ayuk coming here train since like maybe May. I still am not. At this point, if Adam Peters really wanted him, he would have gotten him already. That's kind of how I feel about it. He knows the person. He knows what San Francisco is asking for. If they really wanted him, they would have already gone out and gotten him.
Look, I mean, there's always the possibility. It's not a very good possibility that the 49ers struggle without him and that they end up trading him before the trade deadline. And at that point, they have less leverage. You know, and maybe the price that Washington was willing to consider is back in play. But I would bet that a Brandon Ayuk availability, if the 49ers get to the point where they have to trade him, that they wouldn't suffer significantly in value returned because there would be multiple suitors. The problem, of course, is that Ayuk has all the leverage because he doesn't have to commit to signing a long-term deal with the team that's interested in trading him, which narrows the market to maybe one or two teams versus it maybe being four or five teams as we get into the season. They need Brandon Ayuk. They need Trent Williams. And then, you know, they can worry about paying Brock Purdy and the ramifications to the overall roster coming off a Super Bowl trip and maybe a Super Bowl victory. That should be their main focus this year. You know, it shouldn't. You get to a point where you've been to four NFC title games, two Super Bowls, and the two NFC title games you lost, you had a legitimate chance to win. One in which you had a defensive back drop an interception. Two, you lost every quarterback that you had in the first half. And that, you know, obviously doomed you in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. And you've got a window here that isn't, you know, open forever because you have to pay your quarterback. You're going to have to pay Brock Purdy when this season is over. And, you know, you're going to lose something because of that. You're going to lose a Deebo. Trent's getting old. They've got to win the Super Bowl this year. Their chances of doing it without Brandon Ayuk are not as good. That's still where I am. There's a very interesting comment last night made by Kirk Herbstreit about the Indianapolis Colts and their current starting quarterback. You will hear that when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball, Nats beat the Rockies 8-3. Patrick Corbin pitched six innings, allowing just one run on four hits and striking out eight. James Wood went 1-3 at the plate with two RBI and a stolen base. Nats on the road tonight and this weekend in Atlanta, but tonight they start at 7:20. You can hear it on 106.7 The Fan. In the NFL, Kansas City makes Creed Humphrey the highest paid center in the league with a 4-year, $72 million extension, 50 of that is guaranteed. Of course, yesterday, Washington traded Jahan Dotson to division rival Philadelphia for a 2025 third rounder and 2 sevenths in 2025. And then just announced, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has said that the waiting period for coaching candidates to be inducted has been reduced from 5 seasons out of the game to just 1, which means Bill Belichick could be inducted as early as next season. And that's what's trending.
So last night, there were 2 preseason games. By the way, you know what I did last night, Denton? First time ever. YouTube TV, Sunday Ticket. There was a good deal on it. I've never done the Sunday NFL ticket. I'm sick of cable, and I went YouTube TV and did the Sunday ticket because there's kind of a bundled deal if you did both of them at the same time.
And it works great. My brother had it last year. I loved it. You get Red Zone in there, too. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you had to pay extra for Red Zone.
No,
It was not a part of Sunday Ticket and YouTube. You had to pay an extra. It was nothing. It was like an extra $10 a month for Red Zone. And for just the months that the Red Zone, you know, it's, what is it? It's a 4-month product.
4 month, yeah.
September, October, November,
Have you
December.
Seen that price without YouTube TV?
It's outrageous.
It's like $700. It's insane.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And this was just my first night observation about YouTube TV. Maybe somebody can help me with this, and maybe it's just streaming versus cable. I don't know. I just thought, because I wanted to watch some sports with it last night. I was watching the convention. I was watching the 2 preseason games, Chiefs-Bears and also Colts-Bengals. But the picture is better. I noticed that on the games that I streamed on Amazon and Peacock last year, that the picture's just better. It still says it's the same level of HD, but, and it wasn't 4K. Neither one of those games was 4K, but these are questions that Zabe would be able to answer for me. He's the TV technology nerd, but that's what I noticed. Hopefully there are no issues with YouTube. Remember last year, weren't there a few issues with the NFL Sunday Ticket?
Maybe a little bit. I thought Amazon had more issues than YouTube TV did.
I never had an issue with Amazon. Remember when there were lots of complaints and I told you the whole year I didn't have one issue with Amazon?
Yeah, I had it for a week.
Those are Wi-Fi issues, aren't they?
The Amazon thing was more than a Wi-Fi, but I only had that issue for a week and then it was fine. I've never had an issue with Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV.
All right. You know, I won't use Sunday Ticket when Washington's playing. I will, you know, go to this CBS or Fox affiliate on YouTube and watch the game. When Washington's playing, look, because of my ventures into wagering, I am paying attention and I do have I've had a second screen to watch Red Zone or to watch, you know, other things that are going on, especially as the team got really bad and the seasons got away from us. But I am anticipating a competitive season. But when they're not playing, it's great to have Sunday Ticket. And I guess I can go quad box 4 games at a time on Sunday Ticket. That's what it promoted.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that in college, for college football as well. I just hope this year. Last year, the issue was they wouldn't let you pick your quad box. So I hope this year they allow you to pick it. Because what you'd get is there'd be 4 great games on, and you'd get 3 of them, and then you get like a Western Kentucky versus Michigan. I'm like, I don't care about that one. I want to watch a ranked-on-ranked opponent. So I hope they let you pick your quad box.
Right. All right. Anyway, last night I was actually flipping around, and I did catch the Anthony Richardson pick 6 in the preseason game last night. Now, apparently he had led the Colts on an opening drive down the field, 80 yards and threw a touchdown pass. And then on the second drive, he threw a pick 6. And there have been some struggles for Anthony Richardson in the camp. There was this story the other day in their joint practice with Cincinnati that some of the Cincinnati DBs and defensive players were basically laughing at his decision-making process. He was 8 of 14 last night, 86 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He's not running around here in the preseason. That's a big part of Anthony Richardson's game. And a big part of one of the reasons I actually thought there was a chance he could have a good, you know, early career before he learned how to become a drop-back passer. Everybody understood with Anthony Richardson coming out last year that he's not developed yet as a pocket passer, but that he's such a big, strong runner that, you know, if you build dual threat around him, which they had for those first four games before he got hurt, he could be really effective. And he was in those first four games last year before he got hurt. I think it was four games that he played in last year before getting hurt. He had, you know, like 150 rushing yards and then four touchdowns in four games rushing, had three passing touchdowns. But anyway, there is definitely some concern about whether or not Anthony Richardson should be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. They have Joe Flacco backing him up. Flacco was lights out for Cleveland when Deshaun Watson went down and carried them into the postseason. Of course, he did not have a good playoff game, but it was really more Cleveland's defense that was a major issue in that game, surprisingly. But Kirk Herbstreit last night with Al Michaels on the Amazon call got into the situation at quarterback in Indianapolis. Here's what he said.
Something here, if you're Shane Steichen, best case scenario, Anthony Richardson, He lives up to what we all hope he can do. Running, throwing, he's healthy. This team has a great year, and he's a superstar, right? What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path. If you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's Evan Hall. You know, I would think you can feel it inside the team at that point, too. Mm-hmm. What are the guys thinking? You know, do we make the change here? What do we do? Yeah.
Yeah, hey, 37.
I think, you know, you read the room.
Yeah.
Is what I would do.
Yeah. Again, we're all hoping to see him have a monster year and lead this team to great things. But that's the big thought, I think. Even if you're a Colts fan, you're hoping to see Anthony Richardson be this guy that can run this offense that Jalen Hurts ran 2 years ago in Philly, and he's running zone read and he's making plays. But if it's inconsistent, how long do you go until you start to maybe have that kind of discussion?
Well, it's almost like, you know, what you do with any rookie quarterback. He's not a rookie, but in effect, he only played four games last year.
Yeah.
And he has very little experience.
The reality is the roster around the quarterback spot, this is a playoff team.
Let me just tell you, you guys probably know this. When you hear the two game announcers on network TV having that kind of conversation, that is coming from their meetings with the coach prior to the call of the game. You heard right there that there's going to be a quick hook on Anthony Richardson if it's not working out. And you guys have followed this. We can have the Joe Flacco conversation later on. We've had it many times. He's not elite, but every team he's on, he is highly respected. He is a guy that players flock to. By the way, tremendous mentor, and he was really the number one mentor for Lamar Jackson, according to the people in Baltimore. And that's what they wanted him to be with Anthony Richardson, bringing him in. But if it becomes obvious to everybody in that building that they'd be better off with Flacco because they've got a team that's built to go to the postseason and they do have a pretty good roster, and Shane Steichen is very well respected in this league, you heard right there that that is quick hook in Indy with Richardson. He will be on a very short leash because the rest of the building feels like if it's Flacco, they got a chance to win games. That'll be an interesting story early in the season to watch, because I would bet that he's going to get the opportunity, Richardson will, to start the year. They open up with a massive game in their division against Houston at home in Indy on opening weekend. Then they're at Green Bay in week two. This is a team that when they won nine games last year with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. So interesting NFL city and storyline for early in the season. Look, Richardson should be a lethal dual threat guy as a runner, but that got him hurt last year. All right, up next, Ben Standig. We will look forward to Sunday night, see which position groups and which players he thinks are playing for jobs. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
So last night there were two preseason games. By the way, you know what I did last night, Denton? First time ever. YouTube TV Sunday Ticket. There was a good deal on it. I've never done the Sunday NFL ticket. I'm sick of cable, and I went YouTube TV and did the Sunday ticket because there's kind of a bundled deal if you did both of them at the same time.
And it works great. My brother had it last year. I loved it. You get Red Zone in there, too. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you had to pay extra for Red Zone.
No,
he paid for Red Zone. It was not a part of Sunday Ticket and YouTube. You had to pay an extra. It was nothing. It was like an extra $10 a month for Red Zone. And for just the months that the Red Zone, you know, it's, what is it? It's a four-month product.
Four-month, yeah.
September, October, November,
Have you
December.
Seen that price without YouTube TV?
It's outrageous.
It's like $700. It's insane.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And this was just my first night observation about YouTube TV. Maybe somebody can help me with this. And maybe it's just streaming versus cable. I don't know. I just thought, because I wanted to watch some sports with it last night. I was watching the convention. I was watching the two preseason games, Chiefs-Bears and also Colts-Bengals. The picture is better. I noticed that on the games that I streamed on Amazon and Peacock last year, that the picture's just better. It still says it's the same level of HD, but it wasn't 4K. Neither one of those games was 4K. But these are questions that Zabe would be able to answer for me. He's the TV technology nerd, but. That's what I noticed. Hopefully there are no issues with YouTube. Remember last year, weren't there a few issues with the NFL Sunday Ticket?
Maybe a little bit. I thought Amazon had more issues than YouTube TV did.
I never had an issue with Amazon. Remember when there were lots of complaints and I told you the whole year I didn't have one issue with Amazon?
Yeah, I had it for a week.
Those are Wi-Fi issues, aren't they?
The Amazon thing was more than a Wi-Fi, but I only had that issue for a week, and then it was fine. I've never had an issue with Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV.
All right. I won't use Sunday Ticket when Washington's playing. I will, you know, go to this CBS or Fox affiliate on YouTube and watch the game. When Washington's playing, look, because of my ventures into wagering, I am paying attention, and I do have I've had a second screen to watch Red Zone or to watch other things that are going on, especially as the team got really bad and the season's got away from us. But I am anticipating a competitive season. But when they're not playing, it's great to have Sunday ticket. And I guess I can go quad box four games at a time on Sunday ticket. That's what it promoted.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that in college, for college football as well. I just hope last year the issue was they wouldn't let you pick your quad box. So I hope this year they allow you to pick it, because what you'd get is there'd be four great games on, and you'd get three of them, and then you get like a Western Kentucky versus Michigan. I'm like, I don't care about that one. I want to watch a ranked-on-ranked opponent, so I hope they let you pick your quad box.
Right. All right. Anyway, last night I was actually flipping around, and I did catch the Anthony Richardson pick six in the preseason game last night. Now, apparently he had led the Colts on an opening drive down the field, 80 yards, and threw a touchdown pass. And then on the second drive, he threw a pick six. And there have been some struggles for Anthony Richardson in the camp. There was this story the other day in their joint practice with Cincinnati that some of the Cincinnati DBs and defensive players were basically laughing at his decision-making process. He was 8 of 14 last night, 86 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He's not running around here in the preseason. That's a big part of Anthony Richardson's game, and a big part of one of the reasons I actually thought there was a chance he could have a good, early career before he learned how to become a drop-back passer. Everybody understood with Anthony Richardson coming out last year that he's not developed yet as a pocket passer, but that he's such a big, strong runner that, if you build dual threat around him, which they had for those first four games before he got hurt, he could be really effective. And he was in those first four games last year before he got hurt. I think it was four games that he played in last year before getting hurt. He had, 150 rushing yards and then four touchdowns in four games rushing, had three passing touchdowns. But anyway, there is definitely some concern about whether or not Anthony Richardson should be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. They have Joe Flacco backing him up. Flacco was lights out for Cleveland when Deshaun Watson went down and carried them into the postseason. Of course, he did not have a good playoff game, but it was really more Cleveland's defense that was a major issue in that game, surprisingly. But Kirk Herbstreit last night with Al Michaels on the Amazon call got into the situation at quarterback in Indianapolis. Here's what he said.
Something here. If you're Shane Steichen, best case scenario, Anthony Richardson, He lives up to what we all hope he can do. Running, throwing, he's healthy. This team has a great year, and he's a superstar, right?
What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path. If you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's Evan Hall. I would think you can feel it inside the team at that point, too. Mm-hmm. What are the guys thinking? Do we make the change here? What do we do? Yeah.
Yeah, hey, 37.
I think you read the room.
Yeah.
Is what I would do.
Yeah. Again, we're all hoping to see him have a monster year and lead this team to great things, but that's the big thought. I think even if you're a Colts fan, you're hoping to see Anthony Richardson be this guy that can run this offense that Jalen Hurts ran 2 years ago in Philly, and he's running zone read and he's making plays. But if it's inconsistent, how long do you go until you start to maybe have that kind of discussion?
Well, it's almost like, what you do with any rookie quarterback. He's not a rookie, but in effect, he only played four games last year.
Yeah.
And he has very little experience.
The reality is the roster around the quarterback spot, this is a playoff team.
Let me just tell you, you guys probably know this. When you hear the two game announcers on network TV having that kind of conversation, that is coming from their meetings with the coach prior to the call of the game. You heard right there that there's going to be a quick hook on Anthony Richardson if it's not working out. And you guys have followed this. We can have the Joe Flacco conversation later on. We've had it many times. He's not elite, but every team he's on, he is highly respected. He is a guy that players flock to. By the way, tremendous mentor, and he was really the number one mentor for Lamar Jackson, according to the people in Baltimore. And that's what they wanted him to be with Anthony Richardson, bringing him in. But if it becomes obvious to everybody in that building that they'd be better off with Flacco because they've got a team that's built to go to the postseason and they do have a pretty good roster, and Shane Steichen is very well respected in this league, you heard right there that that is quick hook in Indy with Richardson. He will be on a very short leash because the rest of the building feels like if it's Flacco, they got a chance to win games. That'll be an interesting story early in the season to watch, because I would bet that he's going to get the opportunity, Richardson will, to start the year. They open up with a massive game in their division against Houston at home in Indy on opening weekend. Then they're at Green Bay in week two. This is a team that when they won 9 games last year with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. So, interesting NFL city and storyline for early in the season. Look, Richardson should be a lethal dual threat guy as a runner. But that got him hurt last year. All right, up next, Ben Standig. We will look forward to Sunday night, see which position groups and which players he thinks are playing for jobs. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.